Our scripture reading for this morning is Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Listen for the word of God to you. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. As he talked openly about this with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, then reprimanded Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," he said. "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's." Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." May God bless this reading to your hearts today. So, what feels like forever years ago, I was able to attend a movie premiere. It was only 2019, but it feels like a long time ago. Remember movies? Like, that was something. Remember getting into a room with other people and watching those movies? Yeah, we'll get back there. But I was thinking about this movie premiere that I went to. I got to see the movie Blindspotting. It was written and starring David Diggs. If you are familiar at all with David's work, it might be from the guy who played Lafayette and Hamilton, or Jefferson in Hamilton, rather. Incredible actor, incredible writer, singer, dancer, multiple threat. But I was excited to go to this particular premiere. There were a few special things about this premiere. First of all, this premiere was held in a church. It was Trinity Church, Wall Street, in Lower Manhattan. I had made some friends there, and they invited me to come to this event. And, you know, who am I to say no to a movie premiere? So I certainly went. The second thing that made it special was the fact that David Diggs was actually going to be there. Now, what made that special is that my son Calvin, huge fan of David Diggs. And any time that you can connect your kid to something that they really love because of what you do, well, that's a good day. But there was a third thing that made this evening important, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. The film is called Blindspotting because that's what it explores, the blind spots that we have when engaging in conversations about race or violence or policing or society in general. After the film, there was to be a panel discussion about the themes of the movie, and I was very excited to sit back and just listen. And listen I did. But there was one comment that stuck in my chest, and I never want to lose it. It was when a panelist said that when it comes to race relations in this country, The biggest challenge to reconciliation is that white folks want our rhythm, but they don't want our blues. That statement was one of those statements that stopped me in my tracks, and I am not sure I heard anything else after that. See, what he was saying is that so many in the white community want to consider themselves post-racist because they listen to black music, or celebrate Black History Month, or black athletes, or acknowledge Martin Luther King during the month of February. But to understand the struggles of being black in America requires truly listening. Listening so that we all understand not only the pain, but the roots of the pain, and the reality of what it means to walk through a day as black in America. What he was framing for us is so indicative of who we are as a culture. We want things to just get better or go away without taking that long, hard look we talked about last week as to why we are where we are. You might have heard phrases like, can't we just move on? Why can't we or they just get over it? Why can't we just forget about it? After all, I said I was sorry. It's not just American culture or white culture that has this condition. It struck me that the same thing was happening in this passage. It's what Peter was dealing with. Peter was suggesting that there would be no cross ahead for Jesus. The only thing that should be ahead for Jesus was just winning and glory. That's what he thought it was all about. Jesus felt that twinge that maybe Peter's idea seemed really nice. In fact, Jesus had just faced that very same temptation in the wilderness that we discussed last week. That passage said that Satan took him to a high peak and told him that he could have all the winning that he wanted if he just would take the shortcut to bowing to him. It was a familiar temptation when Peter suggested what he suggested. You know, sometimes we have in our mind that Jesus was some kind of superhero that was never tempted to take the easy way out. This passage tells me that this is not the case. In this very human reaction, he looks at his friends and then looks at Peter and just says, "Get behind me, Satan." That feels a little harsh. I don't know if I would still be friends with somebody that looked at me and said, "Get behind me, you devil." So what did he mean? Well, if it helps, the word Satan really just means accuser, another word for a prosecutor. When you are on trial, it is the prosecutor's job to look for holes in your claims of innocence. Jesus went through the test, that test in the wilderness. And Jesus is literally saying, I have been here before. I have been face to face with this temptation. And I was proven true. I did it. I did the work. I took the long, hard look. And now that I did that work and did the journey, I am putting you back in the past where you belong. Get behind me. You live in my past, not in my forward. There's something else that is in my forward. In my forward is a cross. In my forward is the journey God has called me to. In my past is the shortcut. In my past is the easy way. That is not the way that I'm going. Get behind me, Satan. That is where you belong. You see, that level of confidence can only happen when you go through the trial of the wilderness, when you go through the call of Lent that we are all being called to go through, when you take that long, hard look that we're talking about. That is the work that gives you the confidence to say, oh no, that is not my forward. That is my past. I have left that in the past, and you can get behind me because the walk forward is into the wilderness with Jesus. And I know full well that that walk is going to lead me to a cross. But behind Jesus is where I go. See, we know that healing and good things takes that long, hard look, that there is no easy way. See, healing only happens through the pain of rehabilitation. We know that. We know that there's no shortcut to healing. We know that recovery only happens when we are honest with ourselves and who we are. That reconciliation and unity that so many people call for in this country will only happen if we're willing to come face to face with the sins of our ancestors and the systems of oppression that we built this society upon. And we will only become the church that God is calling us to be if we are willing to take seriously the journey that Lent invites us to take. And we may find that we don't like some of the things that we see when we look really hard. But that is the only way. You see, there is no shortcut to Easter. We have to do this work to get to Easter. We call Lent the time that there are no more hallelujahs. We don't shout and sing and dance during the course of Lent because we have to do that hard work. We have to mourn. We have to ask questions. We have to listen. We have to rend our clothes and put ash on our head because we know that without that work of being honest with ourselves and telling the truth about ourselves and the world that we live in, are we ever going to find the resurrection of Easter? Sure, we'll be able to put on some fancy clothes and some nice big hats and nice dresses and fill this room with lilies, but it'll be a funeral. Because we will not have life without passing first through death. Are you up for that hard look? Or would you rather keep your blind spots? At the end of the day, it's up to us. We get to choose what to do. The wilderness is calling to all of us. Will you go with me? Amen.